Okay, yes, good morning. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. And here we are again another week, Chumash in the morning. As we saw last week, we skipped a little bit, and now we're in the middle of Parshas Emor, and we will continue today. And last week we did only a little bit. I mean, there's a lot on these psukim. And as we saw, the topic of this perek, which is Perek Chav Gimel, chapter 23 in Chumash Vayikra, which is in Parshas Emor, is the Yomim Tovim. That's really the theme of the parsha. And as we mentioned last week, the Yomim Tovim are mentioned in the Chumash a few times. This is not the only time. They are mentioned quite at length in Parshas Pinchas and then again in Chumash Devarim. And each time has its reason. Over here, we are more looking at the way they fall out in the seasons, so to speak, throughout the year, so to speak, the order, the flow of the year, the calendar. And that's the emphasis of these psukim. Although, obviously, when we mention the Yomim Tovim, we learn something about each of the Yomim Tovim each time that it mentions it. And as we saw last week, besides the introductory pasuk of the Yontif, it starts with the concept of Shabbos. So that's what we were in the middle last time, of seeing how they are called, the Yontifs are called, as it says, Moyadei Hashem. Moyed is what a Yontif is called, which is an appointed festival. And then we use the word Asher Tikru Oysan, and here they translate, which you shall, you shall designate as callings of holiness. Mikra'i Kodesh, callings of holiness. And we discussed a few different ways of translating that word Mikra, and we're going to see today a little bit more about that. So before, we do have a few more psukim to read, but we still have some of the Mefarshim that we didn't finish based on the psukim from last week. Do you know what? I'll just read one more time, one pasuk. Let's just see here. Just Pasuk Dalet, which repeats again. It says, Eile Mayadei Hashem. These are the appointed festivals of Hashem. Mikra'i Kodesh. The callings, they translate the callings of holiness. Asher Tikru Oysam, which you shall call, B'mayadam, in their appropriate time. So interesting here, it says, Mayadei Hashem. They are the festivals of Hashem. And who calls them? You call them in their proper time. Just to show you one thing before we go back, just to get to keep it clear, it says in the previous pasuk, in pasuk Beis, it said Dabriel b'nei Yisrael, and then it says V'yamarta aleihem Mayadei Hashem. Again, these are the festivals of Hashem. Again, Asher Tikru Oysam, which you call Mikra'i Kodesh. They are, so to speak, callings of holiness. And then he says, Eileheim Mayadai. These are my appointed festivals. And remember, we mentioned that for some reason, even though we were the headline, so to speak, the title is the Mayadim, which are the Yomim Tovim, there does have a little bit of a diversion to Shabbos. And it does mention Shabbos. And then we give again the pasuk of Mayed. And then we will start with the Yomim Tovim. So let's see today, a few more insights. Slightly repetitive, forgive me, but it's just very beautiful, and each one has its own angle, its own insight to understand the concept, because it's actually a very fundamental concept. And as we said, we're leading on to this beautiful month coming up, the month of Tishrei. Shabbos we have every week, but Yontif is not every week, it's a few times a year. And as we said, one of the big stresses is this is the concept of holiness in time. So it's something very important for us to remember, especially for us, I think, more than ever. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a constant holiness in space where they were always able to go to recharge. We don't have that privilege, especially now. So what we do have is, we have the concept of time, which as the explained by the Maharal and many other Mefarshim, and the Reb Shamshon Fel Hirsch also says it very beautifully, once we were redeemed from Egypt, we were given our time back, meaning that we became free. And what's the true sign of a free person is the fact that they are a master over their time. Somebody who is not free, his time is dictated. Everything, as we know, in a prison or even some students will say in a school it's similar. Every single minute is dictated. You have to be here at this time. Class starts at that time. You can only eat lunch at this time. And that's not true freedom. When is true freedom? True freedom is when you decide you want to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. And the truth is, this is the concept of time, so to speak, being ours. But what, as Jews, we do with it is then we take it to a new level and we channel our time to Hashem. And this is something that we can all do and we have the ability to do that's given over to us. And that's why these psukim are so relevant for all of us at all times, wherever we are. Okay, so let's see the Kliyakar. So the Kliyakar, again, like I say, a little bit repetitive. We'll see some of it inside. He says, Maya de Hashem. These are like the designated times for Hashem. Just going to read a part of the Kliyakar from here where it says, Davar Acher. Asher tikru oisam b'mayadam, that they are called in their festive times. So he says, Kriyazu hi bidivrei Taira. Now, it's an interesting word, the word kriya, because we said kriya could mean that it's just a time that's designated or called. But he says, he gives a little bit of a different insight. It says kriya means actually we call it. In other words, how do we actually, how do we experience the yontif? By calling it in words of Torah. In other words, by actually reading words of Torah. Sheyis asku behilchas Pesach bePesach, that on Pesach we learn the halachas of Pesach, and obviously every yontif we learn the halachas of that yontif, and then what happens is it becomes specific holy times with the specific flavor of the yontif, because otherwise Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot do have many similarities, and then obviously on Pesach it's a little different, but let's say Shavuos and Sukkot, I mean, okay, you eat in a different place on Sukkot, but still, it's a similar type of experience. How do you know the difference? Because you learn the different halachas of each yontif, and that designates it as a very unique, specific time to concentrate on a different experience that we had and that we have. And then he says, "Lakach." That's right. Amnam kishein oiskim b'hem. But if you don't involve yourself in learning Torah during those yamim tovim, ki'im b'maychalu b'mishte. Rather, what do? You spend most of your time with all the nice food and drink and the relaxing. Einan maya de Hashem klal. Then they are not called yontifs for Hashem. They're not special times for Hashem. V'aleihem ne'emar chodsheichem u'mayadeichem sona nafshi. That's what the prophet said, that unfortunately it came a time where Hashem said that I actually detest your Reish Chodesh and all your yontifs. And why was that? Because you weren't celebrating it for Hashem. Rather, you were celebrating it just to enjoy yourself with good food and good drink. Umasha Amar Elu Ta'asu L'Hashem B'mayadeichem. So see how it says Mayadei Hashem, and then it says Mayadeichem, which means your yontif. L'fi Shetzarech Litein Chetzi L'Hashem. Hashem is very kind, and he said, yes, these are holy days, and you should be learning on them and davening, but also half for me, half for you. That's why they are both Mayadei Hashem and Mayadeichem. They are days which are designated for Hashem. They are days which we even have physical benefit from them. So everybody benefits. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains also very beautifully. He says, Maya de Hashem. What does this word mean that they're designated for Hashem? So he says, so let's show you over here. Okay, so he says, first he asks, okay, let me just see. Venira. Okay, he also asks why we repeat the concept of Shabbos. So he says, Venira kishir haksuvim hu shemitchila tziva Hashem ki ikar ha-maya deis taloi bizmanim asher yikru oisam. So we know that the main concept of the yontif is dependent upon the time that you designate, so to speak, for them. The chosh hakasuv, and the pasuk is worried sheyitu leimar, that we might make a mistake. Shebechlal ze gam kein kedushas yom Shabbos. Maybe Shabbos is the same as yontif. In what way? What might you mistake? Im yaskimu l'tchayseh miyayim eliyayim acher. Because if you all decide that you want to push off Shabbos from Shabbos till Monday, and and you all decided together, he says, maybe you and yiskadish al piyam, and then you will make it holy according to your mouth, which is what yontif does. So that's why it repeats, these are my designated days, the days that I set in stone, and that's Shabbos. Shabbos, it's not up to you to decide when Shabbos will fall out. Perish Eila Shehim Shabbosais, these which are the days of Shabbos, Hey Mayadai, they are my day, my, so to speak, designated days. Mayadim Shekava Habayre, the Einam Begeder Hishtalus. These are days which Hashem established, the Creator established, and they cannot be changed. The Chazar Leimer, and he repeats saying, Eila Mayadai Hashem, these are the designated days of Hashem, Mikrei Kodesh, Asher Hishisi Eschem Shetikru Oysam Atem. And then he repeats and he says, these, the following ones that I'm going to list now, these I've given over to you. These are the ones that I've let you make the call of when they occur. B'chodesh HaRishon, in the first month, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Eilu Ein Kedushasam El Al Pi Yisrael, they get their holiness only through the Jewish people. Okay, now, this is just very beautifully written. Again, explaining these words. We say this in davening on Yom Tov a lot, and we also say it in Kiddush. That's why it's very beautiful to see. The translation just gives us so much more deeper insight. So the Ksav, he lived in the late 1800s, the early 1800s, and he explains very, very beautifully. He was a rabbi in Germany, fought against the Haskalah, and he explains Mikra'i Kodesh. Let's see how you translate this. He says, V'nireh li b'kavonos ha-metargimim shehu miloshen mikra. Let's see what that means in a minute. Asher ha-ra'oisai ha-chana v'hazmana. So he says, Mikra is not that you just like call it that or you designate, so to speak. Rather, it's from a different word. Mikra means, he says, preparation and almost invitation. It's like you are literally looking forward, anticipating, and inviting it in. So let's see what he says. And generally speaking, we say this, Gam L'Dover, Meyuchad V'Kavua. We say this about something very specific and something even that might be established. As he says, I mean, he gives an example, V'Krisim Lachem Arim, that, you know, you designate these cities. Okay, so let's see. He says, they use the word Visazminun, as that would be in Aramaic. Uperish Mikra Kodesh. So how does that fit here? What are these, so to speak, invited days of holiness? So he says, Hachana V'Hazmana El HaKodesh. It's a preparation and sort of an invitation to holiness. Sheyochin Ha'adam Eslibai. So a person has to prepare his heart. El Kedushas Yamim Eila, for the holiness of these days. V'yasa, and how do you prepare yourself? This is so important for now, because that's what we're meant to be doing now. These are the weeks that we prepare for the next month. You know, Tishrei is a month full of Yontif. And interestingly, unlike Pesach, which has a full month before it, Sukkot doesn't get that, because Sukkot, if you realize, we have Rosh Hashanah, then you have Yom Kippur, and between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you only have 4 days. So it's really 3 days. So if somebody is going to leave all the preparation, and we don't just mean physical preparation, but the spiritual preparation, if we're going to leave all of that just till after we finish with Yom Kippur, forget about it. We're going to come into Sukkot totally unprepared. It's not fair to the Yontif of Sukkot. It's not fair for us. We will not experience Sukkot in the maximum the way it's meant to be. That's why through the month of Elul, we should be looking towards the entire month of Tishrei. That's why we need a lot more time to prepare. And here he explains, what is this preparation? So he says that the person has to prepare their heart for the holiness of the days, which means, he says, V'yaset siur v'roishem b'nafshay mitoichen hayra asam. That a person has to literally make pictures and imprints, which means actually imagine and bring up in his mind and in his soul the meaning, the intent, what is the lessons of all the yontif. V'yitein daitoy u'machshavtoy, and he should put his mind, his thoughts, his intense focus, el ha yisoydeis asher aleyen hitvu v'hunachu hayamim akdoshim ha'ela, to the foundations upon which these yamim toivim were established. In other words, now is the time that we are meant to actually set us a time to think about What is Rosh Hashanah? What does it mean? How we prepare? What is Yom Kippur? And what is Sukkot? Because that's the only way that we actually come to them and they are truly holy internally for us. He says, "Va'amru b'mechilta Rashbi," and it says in the Medrash, "Mekrei Kodesh, Kleimar Zminin." He says like this. What does that mean? And it's beautiful language. He says, "Kima demazminin ushpiza lebesa." So it's like what we should picture is when Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot are coming, it's literally like we are inviting a guest into our home. So it's quite a fascinating thing. Sometimes people, you know, in Yiddish, we used to, there was an expression, a Chassidish expression that was given. This was for like the spiritual preparation for Sukkot. They would say, you shouldn't fall like a Yavan in Sukkah. I'm not sure why they used that, dafke that, but like a Greek in the Sukkah. What does that mean, like a Greek in the Sukkah? What they meant was like some foreigner that has absolutely nothing to do with the Yontif. You sort of like fall and you wake up in the morning, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah. Oh, it's Yom Kippur. Obviously, as women, we find it a little hard because we do have a lot of preparation. So we do know. But it's not just the physical preparation. And if we don't set aside the time, that's what will happen. The Yom Tov comes. We might benefit a bit, but nowhere near as much as we can if we put in the preparation. The idea, again, is we're literally inviting it to our home. And as he says, I just want to show you. So in the, obviously, we know what the Torah tells us. So one way we do, we have to eru b'maychol b'mishto b'kasas nikiya, right? So obviously, one of the ways halachically that we prepare for a yontif is we prepare good food, good drink, clean clothes. And why is that? And then the word eru, which actually means like to have a an experience. So he says, pershu loshen simin yisaymenhu. Well, sometimes it could mean like you designate, so like you make a sign. It's a different day because I eat different foods on it. Or hazmana, it's like, as you say, you invited in. And we have to remember, the most important thing is not the different foods that we eat on the Yontif. That's very nice and good. But that's not what it really is all about. So what is it all about? Aval heim simonim. Why do we have different foods? They are just a sign to remind us of something. What do they have to remind us? For isais l'inyanam, they're like a sign to remind us of what the real matter is. Lahazmin ulahachin bam esnaf sheisenu el kedushas hayamim. That we should literally prepare and invite in our soul to the holiness of the day. Kizek klal gadol b'tayrasenu sha'adam nifal kefipu loisav. The famous thing. Why do we do it with the physical? So why don't we just spend time preparing spiritually? Why do we bother with a good food or a nice new article of clothing or whatever? So he says, because a person, Hashem knows human nature, and we are drawn after our physical actions when we involve ourselves. So when we think about the honey cake, and let's say we prepare it in advance, it might sound like a simple thing, but obviously it's just there to jar our memory to say, oh, Rosh Hashanah is coming. What are you doing about it? What does the honey cake represent to you? And how do you literally take it in a deep and in a soul way? So let's see, he says like this, and as he says, Yechuvan laharchiv bahem es hanefesh, to broaden our soul, lahavries gufay, to make our body healthy, vehemshech mitziusay el hashleimus, and obviously that goes together. When our soul is healthy, our body is healthy, and it makes us into complete people, kidei sheyisharu kli kaiches nafshay, sheheim evarei haguf shleimim. So also, why do we have to make sure that our body is healthy? Because we know, with a healthy body, because when a person is physically healthy, they can deal with all of the spiritual growth that they really should be doing. So therefore, in our case now, we might say that we should put preparation in for Yontif, even though sometimes we might think it's a little futile. We're not going to have guests anyway. We're not going to, right? So, why should I think that I'm going to, I don't know, whatever it may be that we normally do for a yontif, we'll do a lot less. So perhaps we might do a little bit less. But we shouldn't neglect it totally. Why? Because when we invest ourselves physically, what that does is it actually, first of all, reminds us, there's no question, but another thing, when we are well, when we are whole, then what happens is we are busy, we are involved, and we should try very hard to deal that we shouldn't be full of anxiety, full of other worries, rather concentrate on the positive side. And then we can be whole enough to actually spiritually grow through the yontif. Because otherwise, if we neglect all the physical preparations, what that means is we're giving in to the feeling of that anxiety of like, it's not going to happen anyways, it doesn't matter anyways. No, none of that should be in our mindset now. Rather, yontif is coming and we should look at it as the most incredible gift that it is approaching, and it's such an opportune time. And now the Rav Shamshon Feld Hirsch says, Mayadei Hashem, just quickly, I know these are also just beautiful words, I'm sorry, bit repetitive, like I said, but very, very beautiful. And he explains also that, as we mentioned, I won't read this, I mentioned that it's three times in the, you know, we mentioned the yontifs, and each time has its own unique contribution. But let's see what he says. But what is the same about all the times that it mentions yontif? The concept of mayed, as we said. What does mayed mean? Kedushas hazman, that we are designating and making time holy. Why? Because we know that, as we said, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was holy. That was a holiness in space. And now we want to have holiness in time. And when we have holiness in time, as well as holiness in space, what happens is you use everything you possibly can for the oneness of Hashem. You have that focus on what things are really about. And he says, Mikadesh Mikdash HaTorah Meir La'am Ki Darkei El Hashem. He says, Mevasris al Yidei HaTorah. So everything actually, sorry, that's I didn't read that right. Musavis al Yidei HaTorah. So everything is actually established and focused through Torah. So very interesting thing. So when you have this, what happens is when you have a special time that you set aside as holy, so as we said, that shows freedom, but something else very beautiful. So there's two aspects. The Yontif tells us like this. Bizmanim elu haisa kirvas Hashem ba'avar. We reflect upon the fact that why do we have this yontif? Because in the past, for example, the first yontif that will be mentioned is Pesach. And what happened on Pesach was when Hashem literally showed us such tremendous love and took us out of Mitzrayim. So we had a special closeness to Hashem in the past. But then what happens now when we celebrate Pesach again? U b'chazarasam kol shana, when it repeats itself every year, Hashem mitzapeh le Ichud Mechadash. Hashem is waiting and literally anticipating a new oneness. In other words, the closeness repeats itself in a deeper way. And this is what happens, and he says a very beautiful thing. Amokim Musa Kavua. Space is something which is established, ubilti mishtana, and doesn't change. And that's why the Mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, that's an eternal holiness. And fascinatingly, time is something which is constantly changing. And this is also very interesting. So this shows us something beautiful, that there's the concepts which are stable in life, that are constant, and of course, we put Hashem there, but then there are things which are constantly fluctuating. And even in the fluctuating parts of our life, we have to constantly remember and focus that what is yes the same about those fluctuating times is they could all be elevated and directed to Hashem, and especially when the special yontifs come. Okay, so I just want to see, and he also explains, as we said before, the true sign of freedom is when a person is able to use their time the way they want to, as he uses the language lishtamish bizman ba'ifen atzma'i, right? So it's an independence that you have with your time, and that happens through the redemption in Mitzrayim, and that's why the first yontif we're going to mention will be, and the first yontif we celebrate in the way the calendar is set up from Nisan, is Pesach, because without Pesach, no other yontif would be possible, because yontif shows us that we have the ability to sanctify time. Why is that? Because we are free. Why are we free? Because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And remember again, we're talking not just about physical Mitzrayim. More importantly, each and every one of us has been taken out of our own Mitzrayim. And that's why, whether a person, you know, sometimes we feel it's not like that. A lot of times people say, but my time is not my own. It's not true. There's so many things that I have to do, and I really don't have time. In other words, my time is not mine. But a person has to realize that really that's not the case. Even the busiest person, your time is yours. Once Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, yes, it's true we have many things we have to get done. But the fact remains that it's up to us to decide every minute how we are going to live that minute. And the fact is that we have the ability to sanctify and to make time holy. So it's a very important thing to remember. Let's see just one, I think it's just one more in the line with this. And then, just very beautiful how he puts it. This is also, I think, perhaps still a continuation. So he says, another thing for us is important to remember why we call them designated times of holiness, because it's not nature that gives us the blessings. He says, Loi chesed ha-shemesh yimalei es asameinu. It's not the kindness of the sun that fills our, you know, food storage houses. No, definitely not. Ela Hashem b'berchasai. This is what the Yontif makes us remember, that it is Hashem with his blessing, b'miloi ritzaynai, with the fulfillment of his will. Mikra'ei kaidesh, we say, hu mechuvan es hateva lebracha. Hashem, literally, he's the one that designates and decides and can focus and can actually lead, that nature gives us tremendous blessings. So this is also what Yontif, that we reflect on a Yontif, this is what Yontif, so again, a very interesting thing, Yontif is also a time, just like Shabbos, of gratitude, of sitting, not just Shavuos when we have Bikurim, every Yontif is a time that we have to remember that it is because of Hashem that we have our blessings. That's what we have to focus on during and as a preparation for a Yontif. I just want to see one more, see what this one was. Okay, yeah, we also know that interesting thing, Mayadai, they are my, you know, so to speak, this concept, they are my designated times, and they are your designated times, as we say. Because the truth is that they are designated by Hashem. In other words, Hashem decided that we should establish certain times as Yontif. And we know, interesting thing, that in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it says that there are actually four Rosh Hashanahs. Very interesting. And that, what's Hashem's contribution? Because we make the calendar. But because most of the Yontifs go according to different natural events that happen during the year, as we know, like the seasons, right? Different things of the wheat, when things grow. And who decides when things grow? It's Hashem who decided that, right? Hashem makes the spring happen in the spring. Then what we do is we make Pesach happen in the spring. So it's interesting how it has both contributions, Hashem and the Jewish people, all both working together to make the time holy. Okay, I just want to see. Now we have just a very cute, a little Ebenezer. He says, because this is talking about when we mentioned Shabbos, it says, "Bechol ma'ishvei seichem, wherever you live." Why do we need that? Obviously, we keep Shabbos wherever we live. So the Ebenezer says it's a very specific language used here, because ba'artzechem, you have to keep Shabbos while you're living in the land of Israel, v'chutz me'artzechem, and also when you leave Israel, b'bayis u'baderech. At home and on the way. You know how some people, they whatever, keep kosher at home and not out of the house. Shabbos is meant at home and when you're traveling. It's an eternal thing. It doesn't matter where you live. It's a matter of time. Whatever Shabbos comes, it's Shabbos. Okay. Just wanted to see, there was a finishing of a sentence here. Okay. Let me see if I want to do this. Continue. May I die? Okay, so here, now the Sfarnu says like this, that you should, what is Shabbos? That you should rest from your work, and what should you be doing? And your whole busyness should be for Hashem. That's what you should be doing, spending your time for Hashem. As we said, similar to the time of Yontif. And I just want to read one beautiful line. He says, why? Because what is the idea? Again, all different angles of the same idea, but just as we prepare, we understand, we see, he says, v'hakavana bahem, she'im simchas hayayim. So what is this time, what is this joy that you're supposed, how are you supposed to be spending the day? There's supposed to be days of joy. But what kind of joy is this? Sheyismach Yisrael ba'aysav, that as Jews, we celebrate with our maker, and therefore, what do we spend some of the time? Holy work, that we rejoice with Hashem. That's why we say half for Hashem and half for us. And then when we have that joy, then we have the other pasuk that says, Yismach Hashem b'maisav. Then Hashem rejoices with His creations. He's happy with us. We're happy with Him. He's happy with us. And we have this beautiful time spending together. Okay, just want to see. And okay, also, as we said before, but the idea is that when we spend, unfortunately, if a person puts too much emphasis only on the physical pleasures of the yontif, that's not a yontif. That's, Hashem doesn't call that a yontif, and then Hashem is not actually happy with that. Okay, just want to see one beautiful thing also here. Now, the Ksav again says something very magnificent about the word Shabbos. Now, we know Shabbos, we've explained so many times, what is Shabbos, time of rest, this, that, but he gives a very beautiful word. He says, look, take it a little bit out of context, and he says the word Shabbos, okay, as we know, is Lashon Menucha, rest, and you stop working. He says, L'dayti nichlal b'gam ha'iyun v'hachakira. It's not just a time of rest, not just a time of no anxiety, not just a time where we stop working, but it's a time to delve deeply into something, to be able, it's deep focus. What, and where does he get the word Shabbos to be deep focused? So he says, he uses a very interesting language, Shafti ani ve'era tachas Hashemesh, which means the person is actually sitting and contemplating. Achare shuvi nichamti. So interesting, usually that means after I returned, I regret it. But he takes it up from a different context. He says, Achare shuvi, after I have sat and thought about something with nothing else bothering me, I have become comforted. And it's a very beautiful language. The language that we use is Yishuv Hadas. In Hebrew, I don't know if they use it now, but in Lashon Kodesh, it's a very big word. Yishuv Hadas means when a person's mind is settled. This is something which, it's exactly the opposite of anxiety. It's exactly what many people are missing now. Very hard, it's a hard commodity to find now, this concept of Yishuv Hadas. Yishuv Hadas is the ability to sit and focus and think about one thing that you choose to think about, and your mind doesn't wander, and other worries and things don't come in to plague you, and you're able literally to focus. And what happens when a person has Yishuv Hadas? It leads to Menuchas HaNefesh. Without Yishuv Hadas, we don't have Menuchas HaNefesh. With Yishuv Hadas, and Yishuv Hadas is actually something that doesn't just happen on its own. It's something that we have to work on, and that's what the Yontif, and especially Shabbos is. This, every Shabbos is meant, that's why we say, what is Shabbos? Kol Melachtecha Asuya. The minute you light candles, it's supposed to be as if everything you were supposed to finish is finished, and you only pick up on the tab when you make Havdalah. Between those 25 hours, you have Yishuv Hadas, which means you have the ability to concentrate on what's holy, what really matters. And that's Shabbos from the word Yishuv. So it's an interesting play on the words. And that's what he says, Yoyim HaMiyuchad L'Chakira U'Drisha B'Inyonei Hashem Yisparech. It's a time that we can think deeply about matters of godliness. That's what Shabbos is all about. Okay, just... I want to just show you one beautiful thing here. Let's see. We're not going to do all inside because we've done a lot inside here, but he goes, let me just see what, we mentioned a few of these Rabbeinu B'chayis. Just Eile Maya Dei Hashem, he says the word Eile is to show us that it's eternal. Yontif and Shabbos never stop. As long as the world is in existence, we will have Yontif and we will have Shabbos. It doesn't have a time period, like to say it's not relevant nowadays. There's no such thing. And then he says also he describes something really beautiful. So this I hope you don't mind. I want to read inside because it's very magnificent. This like sort of based, it's based on a medrash. And he says like this, V'chein Timtza B'Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, we find in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is a medrash, it says, "Bechof hei be'elul nivru chama ulavana." So the truth is that on the 25th of Elul, really, the world was begin. That was the beginning of the creation of the world. But it doesn't matter if a few days later Hashem created the sun and the moon. But that was like the creation. So he says, now he's talking about how the calendar, so to speak, evolved in historical time. We take it for granted, we open up a calendar. Now, we do know, we are aware, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it didn't work that way. They would establish the calendar in a more spontaneous way, by the way the moon looked, right? And then they would decide which day was the month had 29 days or 30 days, as well as the leap years, as we mentioned, that was decided in the month of Adar, and then for that year. So you didn't know in advance that it would be a leap year, like we do. We know we are coming to a leap year this year, but they didn't know that in advance. But how did it start from the beginning? When was the first time that, who decided the first leap year? So the Medrash says something very fascinating here. It says like this, that when Hashem created the world, and he created Yomim and Leilos, right? He created days and nights, Tkufais v'Iburin, right? So seasons and leap concepts of leap year, Hayu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it was all before God. Hashem decided. V'haya ma'aber es hashana, and Hashem would decide when there should be a leap year. V'achar kach misaran la'adam arishan, and then he said to Adam, this year is a leap year. You know, Adam lived 930 years, so Hashem sent him messages every few years. This year you should celebrate as a leap year. And it says, Shenemar ze sefer toldos Adam. And this is the, so to speak, the way, this is the book of the toldos of Adam. But in this context, he means this is how Adam knew how to celebrate his calendar, his time, how to mark his time. And Adam gave it over to Chanoch. That's a few generations later. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Vayishale Chanoch es Halekim. Chanoch walked with God, and then Chanoch gave it over to Shem, and Shem gave it over to Avram, Avram to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, until they came to Egypt. And what happened there? Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and there it happened. It says, Shenemar Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Leimar, Mahu Leimar, Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leich Emar Lahem, Ad Achshav, Haya Etzli Sayt HaEbor. Until now, I had the secret of when to make a leap year. Mikan ve'eilach shelachem hu la'abres hashana. Now it's time for you to decide. And we know this was the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the concept of the calendars. And this was done while they were still in Egypt. And that's when Hashem said, I'm finished with the calculations. I've graduated the math. Now it's your turn. And he gave it over to the Jewish people to start doing the calculations. And he says, V'chein hoyu Yisrael noyagin, and the Jewish people used to do this, the way they acted. La'aber es hashana ba'aretz, when did they used to decide the leap years, dafke in Eretz Yisrael, kishegalu lebavel, and when they were exiled into Bavel, hayu ma'abrim oisa al yedei hanish'arim ba'aretz. They only were able to establish leap years by the ones who were in the land of Israel. Bikesh Yecheskel, we know Yecheskel asked, La'abres Hashanim, beBavel, he asked if he could make a leap year in Bavel, and Amar le'akadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said, Ein lecha rishus, you have no permission, La'abres Hashana b'chutz la'aretz, in out of Eretz Yisrael, you cannot establish, you don't have the jurisdiction, the ability, the power to establish the leap year when you are not in the land of Israel. He says Yisrael Shabaretz Ya'abru Es Hashana Mikan Amru, and here he says a very beautiful thing, Afilu Tzadikim V'Chachamim B'Chutz La'aretz, even if they are the greatest righteous people and the wisest people living out of Eretz Yisrael, but V'Roye Bakar Ba'aretz, and in Israel you only have shepherds, in other words simple people live in Eretz Yisrael, Ein ma'abrim es hashana ela al yedei hedyotais shebaaretz. The simple people in the land of Israel, they have the power to establish the leap year, not the great tzaddikim who live out of Eretz Yisrael. And then he goes, and it's very beautiful. So one interesting thing about this is, this shows us something quite incredible. I know we don't think about this often, but because we live a little bit superficially. But you know, there's a concept, as we say, we're talking here about the holiness in time. And we said the Beis HaMikdash was a holiness in space. And as people, we think of space and time as two different things. But the truth is, Torah synthesizes both of them. And you can see here that it's only in the holy space of Eretz Yisrael that you can have the power to make time holy. It goes together. Holiness of space with holiness of time, which shows us also that when we Now we don't live in a holy space. We don't live in a holy place. We live in an ordinary place. And yet, when we designate and make our time holy, we actually are able to impact even the place we are in. And that's why it says when Mashiach will come, that in the future, the way the verse says is that Eretz Yisrael will tespashet l'chol ha'umais. The holiness will be all over the world. Obviously, Eretz Yisrael will still be even holier. But nevertheless, the idea being, that's what we are preparing now. So when we designate our Shabbos, our Yom Tov, and we actually mark it with the right time in a holy way, we are actually elevating the place we are in as well. That's the power we have. But the original power comes from the land of Israel. That's what we need. And here he continues and he says very, very beautifully. He says something else. Just beautiful how he just, this is how it actually happened. He says, what used to happen? It's very applicable for this year because this year is going to be a leap year. How did they establish a leap year? What was the method? Like, what did it look like? So he says, Hayu mevi'in sefer Torah lifneihem. They would bring a sefer Torah before them. V'hayu aysen geiren agula v'yoshvin hagadol lefi gadlai v'akatan lefi katnai. They would make this type of like a circle and they would sit a little bit elevated perhaps, but the more important one would sit, I guess, a circle doesn't have a center, but we would put the more important one here, and everybody, like, so to speak, you'd go less around, you know, so to speak, the lesser important further from the most important person. And what would happen? And he says, v'noisnim pneyem lamata, they would be looking downward, la'aretz, towards the ground, v'oimdim uparsim kapeyem lamayla, but they would be standing and lifting their hands, their palms upward, la'aviyem shabashamayim, to their Father in heaven. V'reish yeshiva, masker es Hashem, so the head, in other words, the top person, here he calls him the Rosh Yeshiva, it would be the head of the Sanhedrin, the top tzaddik of this group, who was at that time establishing the calendar, would mention the holy name of Hashem. V'shoymin, and then what would happen is, after he would say the name, V'shoymin baskol kiloshoym v'yedaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. They would hear almost an echo back. He would say the name of Hashem, and they would hear like a voice coming out from somewhere. It would be the voice of Hashem coming out, and in a sense, almost, how do you say it? He would like say, yeah, with the stamp of approval. Yes, this is a good time. You're setting a good time for the leap year. And everybody would hear it. But unfortunately, if it wasn't such an amazing generation and they were doing some wrong things, sometimes it would cause ein shoymin klal. They wouldn't hear the voice of Hashem. So they sometimes weren't able, they weren't receptive enough to hear, but if they were holy enough, the generation, not just the tzaddikim, but the generation was holy enough, they would actually be able to hear the response of Hashem. And he says, V'ashreyim ha'aindim b'makim ahu b'sha'a. They were so lucky, those who were able to witness, those who were able to have this experience, who stood there and experienced this experience of hearing the name of Hashem and hearing the echo back. Shenemer ashrei ha'am yoydei srua. We say this on Rosh Hashanah. This is one of the psukim before the shofar, right? Praised is the nation who knows the trua, truas Hashem, and it says trua Hashem, knows the trua, and then it says Hashem ba'ar panecha Yaleichem, right? That Hashem will walk in the light of your face. In other words, those of you who know the trua, in this context would be the name, the special name of Hashem, and then Hashem responds back, and they were able to see the light of Hashem. They were able to walk with the light of Hashem. But our pun of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Mahalchim. They would walk with the light of Hashem. So in those days, when they would establish a leap year, they actually got a stamp from Hashem. They knew it was the right thing to do. Later on, as generations passed, that obviously that level of revelation didn't happen, but they had systems in place and they would establish the leap year. And this was, and then he says a very beautiful thing. I just want to read one more line, really not so connected. He says, "Mikan yesh lilmaid maila sa'aretz." Here we can learn the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, hakdaisha, the holiness, the kamahi chaviva lifnei hamakim, how beloved the land of Israel is to Hashem. Okay, I just want to see one more beautiful thing here. Okay, and then afterwards the people would, and then there's a whole process how they would stand together in a special room in the Beis HaMikdash and say, Mekudash, like Mekudash, Mekudash, it is designated as holy, and they would decide, and that was, you know, that was the new year. And also that had to do obviously with when the Reish Chodesh was and everything. I just want to show you something else beautiful. Then he says, okay, very magnificent thing what this means. And this is something that, again, he makes a beautiful picture of it. So who decided when the leap year would be, or when Rosh Chodesh is, or when Rosh Hashanah is, for that matter? It was the people down here, the Sanhedrin, human beings, right? So he describes a very beautiful thing. He says that the Sanhedrin, Yoishvin, Laseis Rosh Hashanah, B'yayim Plaini, would sit together and decide that Rosh Hashanah comes out on a specific day. And then what would happen is, so he says, Miyata Kadosh Baruch Hu Moishiv Sanhedrin Shel Malachim. And then immediately, when down here they decided that Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah, what would happen? Then it was like a response instead of the other way around. We think of it that we respond to Hashem. Here, Hashem is responding to people. As soon as the Beis Din down here decides, then Hashem gathers his Malachim and he says to them, let's go, let's hurry up, we have to get ready, something big is happening. And he says to them, let's complete what the people down here are decreeing. It's very strong language. In other words, usually we say Hashem makes the decree. Here we say the Sanhedrin makes the decree. And Hashem and the Malachim listen to the decree which the people down here have made. And what does that mean that they listen? What do they have to do then? And they say like this, Aymrim lefan of Ribbono shel Olam, banecha gazru shei Rosh Hashanah b'yayim plein, right? The Malachim go down and check. They say, the Jews say, this day is Rosh Hashanah. They come back up to Hashem. So Hashem says, really, this is the day? Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoyshev ba'aysa yoyim lodun olamai. And that's when Hashem sits down to judge his people. And as we say, Allah Elokim b'sruah, right? That Hashem is ascended with the Truah. Very interesting. What that means is, when does Hashem go up? When does Hashem stand up to judge us? With our Truah. We blow the shofar down here, and Hashem says, oh, you've decided it's Rosh Hashanah? Okay, I will do my part now. And then he says, and he describes beautifully, V'akisais mutzas, right? The chairs are all spread out, which means these are chairs for the Malachim. They are the Beis Din Shel Maila. V'hasvarim niftachim, and then they open up the books. V'sanhedrin Shel Malachim Aimdim Lefanai. And then the Sanhedrin of the angels stand before Hashem, and they go through the whole judgment for the Jewish people for the year. Just want to see. That's right. So that's why he says, Eila Mayadei Hashem. What are the Mayadei Hashem? What are the designated times of Hashem? They are the designated, the ones that you have designated, the ones that you have decided. And you decide when the time is holy, and Hashem follows along with that. So it's a very powerful idea. Obviously, we can see again the power, but this is the power that Hashem has invested in the human being. We designate, we elevate, we refine the time, and Hashem follows along with us. Just want to show you a very, very beautiful, the Nesiv HaSolom is quite long, but it's a very, very beautiful concept also of this idea of Yontif and Shabbos. I just want to share one thing before we go inside, because we've mentioned over here, we've mixed in a sense that Shabbos comes, he mentions Yontif, then he mentions Shabbos, and then he'll go back to Yontif. So if you want to say in the Kabbalah and in Chassidus and in all the deeper parts of Torah, it explains that there's a very big difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though sometimes we think of it as quite similar. I mean, to us, the only difference is that you can't cook on Yom Tov, I mean on Shabbos, and you can cook on Yom Tov, whatever, carrying. But the truth is that essentially they are very, very different. They are both times of holiness, but they are a very different type of holiness. And the one big main discrepancy between Shabbos and Yom Tov in general, obviously every Yom Tov has its own specific holiness, but generally, so we say, as we've mentioned, as we've seen throughout the Psukim, Shabbos is a time, as we said, which is set in stone. What does that mean, it's set in stone? It's Hashem created the world 6 days, and then the seventh day is Shabbos, which means, what does this mean in a deeper way? That Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, comes directly from Hashem. He decided it, he established it, and he pours down the brachas from above, whether we are ready or not. Shabbos comes. That's called Shabbos is Mekadsha. Mekayim Shabbos is from above to below. It's Hashem pouring down from above. All of the blessings, all of the revelations come from above. Yontif, as we've just seen, to what extent, is dependent on us. We establish the Yontif. Both we make the time in the calendar, but what that means is that it's up to us to make the holiness of Yontif. So that's a totally different direction. That's from below to above. Obviously, once we decide that it's Yontif and we celebrate Yontif in the right way, Hashem pours down tremendous brachas. But it's up to us. We are the initiators on Yontif, and on Shabbos, Hashem is the initiator. That's a very big difference. But as with everything in Torah, nothing is simple. So although Shabbos Hashem is the initiator, and as we said, Shabbos comes ready or not. The holiness of Shabbos is there, ready or not. We do know that there is an investment that we as people put in. Mi shetorach be'erev Shabbos yechel b'Shabbos. We prepare on Erev Shabbos, we enjoy Shabbos. If we prepare for Shabbos both physically and spiritually, we'll get a lot more out of the Shabbos. So there is a concept where we also invest in the Shabbos, our own investment, obviously, but really it's more on Hashem's part. Now with Yontif, we have the same thing. So Yontif, it's true, it's up to us. We make the calendar, we designate the time, and then we put in all the work, and the Yontif comes. But who was the one that made it a special day to begin with? In other words, take for an example, who made Pesach? It was Hashem, because Hashem miraculously revealed himself to us on Pesach and took us out of Mitzrayim. So it's really Hashem who made it very, very holy. So why does he leave it to us to decide, so to speak, exactly when Pesach is? It's an interesting thing, because really there is a holiness that obviously is revealed at the same time every year that Hashem did it the first time. But we see a very fascinating thing, that's true. However, one of the big things that the Torah wants us to understand is that it's not the seasons, it's not the physical seasons. It's, as we said, it's not the sun, it's not the moon, it's not that it happens to be Monday or Tuesday. That's not what makes it Yontif. What makes it Yontif is us, our investment. And that's why Hashem wanted us to really have a major part in the Yontif, so that we actually really feel it that way. We set up the calendar, and if we would have set up the calendar a different way, Rosh Hashanah wouldn't have been on Tuesday. Monday would have been the holy day, whatever it may be. The fact that we decided that it was Tuesday, that's, and now that we decided, obviously, Hashem responds and he makes it into a special holy day. But I want to show you something very beautiful. Now, because of this difference between Shabbos and Yontif, that also helps us understand something that we do. This is a very practical thing. You know, on Shabbos, we read from the Torah. Go to shul and we read from the Torah. But interestingly, the reading from the Torah on Shabbos is just in the order of the parshiyos, the way they're set out from Chumash Bereishis to Shemais to Vayikra. Right? We just go according to the order. What do we do on Yontif? Yontif, what we do is we choose to read something which is specific to that Yontif, right? We don't just decide that, I don't know, we're going to read from the beginning of Chveisvas and just keep going. No, we read what is applicable to the time. Whereas Shabbos, you know, it's funny sometimes when we think about it, people don't realize, like we read about, let's say, Chumash Shmeis, which is the whole story of leaving Mitzrayim, that's read in the month of Shvat, you know? It has nothing to do. We're not celebrating Pesach then. Sometimes you think about it. Why are we talking about Mitzrayim? We should have maybe made the order of the Chumash on Shabbos to coincide with our Yontifs. But we don't do that. And why is that? So he says a very beautiful thing, because this actually shows us something magnificent. He shows us that, you see how he says, I'll read you that line. He says, because he says, why do we have to read on Yontif specifically to do with the Yontif? She'inyan akriya hu mishum shekdushas ha-yontif temuna b'parsha b'tayra. Because the holiness of Yontif is hidden in the parsha of the Torah, hamidaberes me'inyan ha-yontif, which speaks about that Yontif, v'al yidei ha-kriya ma'oririm u'mamshichim es haras u'kdushas ha-yontif. Through the laning, we actually wake up, so to speak, we initiate and we reveal the holiness of the Yontif. And without that, we wouldn't be able to access it. But on Shabbos, it's automatic. We don't need anything to access the holiness of Shabbos, as we said. We do put preparation for ourselves, but we don't need the Torah. Hashem gives it to us without, so to speak, the specific laning. Now, the specific laning obviously accesses different things, but the holiness of Shabbos comes automatically. And that's why we don't have to necessarily read something to do with that time of year on the Shabbos. Very interesting thing. Okay, just to see one, there's another very beautiful idea here that I wanted to see. Now another very important thing. He says, Shabbos is very, why do we start the Yom Tov with Shabbos? And he says a very beautiful thing. It's like this, that Yom Tov is about the specific relationship that we have with Hashem in different ways. Maybe we have time, I'll share with you something beautiful on that. Every Yom Tov is a different stage of our development, of our relationship. But Shabbos is different. Shabbos is the same every single week. What's Shabbos? Shabbos is the foundation of everything. Shabbos is the concept, as we know, of Emunah. Faith in Hashem. Hashem created the world in 6 days. He rests on the seventh. But more than that, He controls the world. He directs the world. He's the master of the world. That's the basis of everything. Without that, we have nothing. So before we get into the specifics of the Yom Tov, we have to first make sure that our Shabbos is strong. And that's why Shabbos is mentioned very strongly before Yom Tov. Before we can get to the pleasurable parts, as he says, before, if somebody is starving, he gives the example, so you give them like what they need, the sustenance that they need. Afterwards, you can give them some food to enjoy. But first, what do they need? And Shabbos is what we need. That's like the bread and water. It's the emunah. Without that, we have nothing. We're not alive. But then, after we have Shabbos, we can now enjoy Yom Tov. And Yom Tov is the pleasurable part, because each Yom Tov shows us a different aspect of our relationship. So just very quickly, I'll share with you something beautiful. So each of the Yomim Tovim has a different aspect. So you can see the annual cycle, we know, begins with Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach is the time that Hashem showed us His love. He just yanked us out of Mitzrayim. We weren't worthy of anything. And we know that corresponds to Avram Avinu. Avram is symbolic of chesed. That's what Avram is. The absolute, total, free kindness of Hashem. And this gave us this so to speak, and that's Avram. So this is the first thing. Then we move on to the second stage. We have Shavuos. What is Shavuos? So Shavuos, we know, is the giving of the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah, in the context of Shavuos, is the fact that we, as we said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will be obedient. We will listen. Now that Hashem, we know Hashem is so kind and He took us out of Mitzrayim and He showed us His kindness, now we are ready to listen to Him. And this is Yitzchak. Yitzchak was Gvura, the one who followed rules, right? Obedient. You listen to what Hashem tells you. Then we come to the next Yom Tov, which is Sukkos. And Sukkos, we know, is a very beautiful time. Sukkos is the time that, very interesting, the festa, as we say, Sukkos is a time when we sit together under one sukkah. We feel the hug of Hashem. We feel the warmth. We feel the togetherness of the family, of the so to speak, the unity of the Jewish people. This is the idea of Yaakov. Yaakov, we know, had 12 sons who all officially got along. They were all tzaddikim, whether they got along or not. Unlike with Avram and Yitzchak, right? Yaakov had 12 holy sons. So this is the idea of Tiferes, a complete synthesis of beauty. Each of the sons with their own unique contribution, but all working together, all able to sit in one sukkah. That's Sukkos. That's Yaakov. Then we move on to Simchas Torah. And Simchas Torah corresponds to the joy of Torah, which we say is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the one who gave us the Torah, but deeper than that, He gave us that oneness with the Torah, the joy of Torah. Then we move on, a very beautiful thing it says now, we move out of the Chumash, we have a Yom Tov of Chanukah that comes up, and Chanukah corresponds to Aaron HaKohen. We know Aaron HaKohen is the one that lit the menorah, He brought light into the world, and interestingly, we say that Aaron is also Hoid, splendor, and this is the idea of the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. And then later on, then we have Purim. Actually, Purim came before Hanukkah in history, but in the Jewish calendar, we then celebrate Purim. And we know that Purim was Mordechai and Esther. And what is Purim? Purim is the idea of Yosef. Yosef is the defender of the Jewish people, right? He's the one that literally kept us alive, kept the entire Jewish nation alive, brought us to Egypt, but sustained us. And this is what Purim is about. It's the preservation of the Jewish people as a people, right? They wanted to destroy us, but no, Mordechai and Esther, we are strong and we can keep going. And interestingly, that's six, but then there's seven. What's the seventh one? And this is one that we're hoping and waiting and we're missing. And that's Mashiach. That's Malchus. Now, Malchus will come when Mashiach will come. This will be, as we know, when Hashem will finally take us out of all of this. We will reach the seventh stage, and we don't even know what kind of yontif it will be. It will be a yontif that we can't even begin to imagine on a whole different level than all of the other yomim tovim that we have celebrated up until now. So this is the seventh one, which is Mashiach, which is Malchus. I know today we spoke a long time on